In our series of studies on Christianity today, we come now to the study of Christianity and your time. And we all have that. Whether you are poor or rich, whether you are free or you are no free, we all have time. And so the Bible has something to say about time. Time is only a fragment of eternity, because at the very beginning it was only eternity. Yet God gives it to us as a serious stewardship. You can control time. Time, therefore, has reference only to man, not to God. God is not bound under time. God is about time. And I want to explain it to you very easy. We're going to work in Ephesians, but I'd like you to see what I said in the scripture, in the book of Genesis, in chapter 1, when God starts everything. Again, time has only reference to man. In Genesis, in chapter 1, we have the creation, how everything was created in full detail. And then, not only the creation, but the sustaining of life, the food, and all of this, but also time. I want you to hear the word of God in Genesis 1, verses 14, all the way to 19. Listen carefully what God said. And then God said, this is the narration of God's creation. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. Before it was one package. Now we have so many hours of day and so many hours of night. And let them be for signs and seasons and for days and for years. And let them be, verse 15, for light in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, and it was so. Then God explained why that he put the moon and he put the sun. Look at what he said, verse 16. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. Now, we Westerners have a very difficult time and understand that because we call a day 24 hours. But the Bible called a day 12 hours, and I get to that scripture in a minute, and they called a night 12 hours. And when the Bible gave time, it said so many days and so many nights to be sure that it's a complete. But here's what God did. He created the moon, and he created the sun. And I like verse 16 at the end, where they said, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. Like if somebody said, oh, shut up, let's make a star. Made the stars also. I'm a fanatic about stars. I have my telescope, and well, Brother Nunes was here, the father. He and I will go to places and look on it, and he will tell me he also liked it. At this hour, at this minute, so and so will pass, and away we go and put the telescope and see it. And God said, I just put the stars. Amazing, no? All right, verse 17. God said them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the 4 days. So time started right there. God, until this time, created, everything went on. And then God said, now we're going to divide. We're going to make a day and we're going to make a night. And so that is what it is. Now, science have accepted some kind of creation, but they don't know how many hours was the day of creation. But the Bible answered that question in the Gospel of John in chapter 11 and in verse 9. The Bible, Jesus just making a commentary, he supplied the information in John 11:9, supplied the information of how many hours are in a day. In John 11, verse 9 said, Jesus answered, said, are there not 12 hours in a day? In 12 hours. So a day where the sun rules is 12 hours. The night where the moon rules is 12 hours, and we call that a day 24 hours. But God said, one day is 12 hours, one night is 12 hours. All right? It's very difficult to say. Suppose I take a trip and I say to my wife, I see you in 3 days and three nights. It doesn't sound right, but that's the way the Bible put it together. All right? So 24 hours divided by 12. And so this is for us. There was no like this in heaven. God is eternity. He has no idea of time. He is not bound by time. But when he created the creation, he limited the creation to that particular form of time. Now why? Because God lives about time. The Bible tells us. In 1 Kings and chapter 8, the Bible tells where is God. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 27. And it's amazing. This came in the prayer of Solomon when he prayed and dedicated the temple. He was a very intelligent man. And he said, how in the world this little temple, and it was a giant temple, but he said, this little temple that I'm making will contain God. And then he explained how big is God. Chapter 8, verse 27 in 1 Kings. The Bible said, but Solomon questioned himself, but will God indeed dwell on earth? Behold, the heaven, number one, and the heaven, number two, and the heavens, number three, cannot contain you. So God is not positioned in the atmosphere, nor in the extra atmosphere. He's above everything. That's where God is. Above everything that has been created is God. And so that's for God, all periods are alive. One day and 1,000 days is the same for God, because there is no time. Sometimes when we pray, we say, well, I've been praying for 3 months. And God is saying, you're praying, that's it. Don't put time to your prayer, because God has no time. See, we said, 2 years I'm praying about this. And God said, no, you're praying. For God, time is not there. So we panic sometimes, but it's so nice when time is not there. All right? So all periods of time are alike for God. But for mankind means for you and me, time means past, present, and future. Very hard for the Hebrew who have no present, which is in Hebrew language, the thought of the Hebrew is, in the Arabs too, is past or future. The action has been completed or the action is incompleted. Only God can be present. That's the concept of the language. Now, let us consider carefully this exhortation that Paul gave us here in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16. Look at what Paul says. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. You people, you know this. Your mother said to you, have you studied everything before you watch television? Do you have to write a paper? Do you wrote the paper before you watch television? And my time will be before you go to play soccer or training. Have you done the paper? Have you done the study? Have you done the reading? And so redeeming the time, Seth, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And the word redeeming is something that you pay off to buy back. In other words, redeeming the time will cost sacrifice from us. We have to put an effort to this. We have to be dedicated. So I have three things to share with you. First, we must analyze time, all right? And then we must maximize time. And it's so large, this topic, that I only got a few things for you. And then we must utilize time in a wonderful way. So let's talk about it. Now, we must analyze time, okay? Now, look at the opportunity of time. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. Time give you opportunity. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. God loves to talk in time. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, we read this. It is a very important text. It said, "For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you." Now, look at here. "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." You see, that is an I call it opportunity time. When you hear the word of God and you hear the explanation that our life is limited and we have a responsibility and an accountability according to the book of Hebrews to God when after we die. So in order to present yourself free from guilt in heaven, the Bible over and over specify that Christ Jesus' death was not only just a death of a man, it was a death on behalf of those who believe in him. So that God has accepted him as a person in which he is pure. And then when we believe in him, that purity comes into our life, and then we are clear in heaven. And when we do that, what the Bible said, "Behold," he said, "now is the accepted time. Don't wait until tomorrow. Don't wait until you think about it. Don't wait until you hear another sermon. Don't wait. Now is the time," said the Bible. So the Bible talks about time as an opportunity. Now is the time to really believe. Now is the day of salvation. Why the Bible said this? Because certainly, there will be not a day of salvation after Christ comes. And so the Bible wants to give you a warning. And it gives you a warning as an opportunity that now you need to believe. Okay? Now, if you go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the Bible talks about the brevity of time. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and look with me. In verse 29, 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 29, the Bible talks about the brevity of time. It says, "But this I say, brethren, the time is short." Now, look back in your life and think when you were in college, and now you're married and you have children and have a job and so on. Have you ever thought back a little bit and said, well, those times, where I was, boy, those times really fly away. Amazing. I think I'm getting older because I remember things of my childhood. I remember that every summer I had to spend 3 months with the richest part of the family. You know, in South America they are rich and poor. And so my aunts from my father's, they were very, very rich on the top of. And when I went over there, I like it because they buy all new clothing, all new shoes, and everything beautiful. And we went to nice restaurants and so on. And I said, where that time went? You know, I was 6, 7 years old. I'm talking about 75 years ago, all right. You know, amazing that the mind can bring you into that. And so time is very brief. I remember when I was in college. I remember when I was in sports and where that time went. Time is so brief, right? Time has opportunity. You can't believe God today. Time is brief. It's passing fast, more fast of what you think. I asked one time a lady in the East Coast that the husband died and they asked me to go and lead the memorial service. And I said, I want to ask you a question. And she was married 68 years. And I said, I want to ask this question, very serious question. And the question is, how do you feel? And she said, you know, where time went? Looks like yesterday when I got married. Not amazing? See, time is short, the brevity of time. And now in Ephesians 5 again, and in verse 16, the urgency of time. So we have the opportunity of time, and then we have the brevity of time. And then in Ephesians 5 and in verse 16, so redeeming the time, and look at what is ahead for all of us. Look at what really is ahead for the world. He said, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now, I listened to the president speak, and he talks about the improvement of reconciliation in America, that we are all one, and indeed that happened. But when you look in the overall picture of the world, when you look into what is going to happen, what is the future of the world, what the scripture says, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. So my question is, how much evil are they? All right, you are in Ephesians, you move your Bible to the right to 2 Timothy, all right? And in chapter 3 and verses 1 to 7 will give you a glimpse of what something has happened today. So we are not too far from this. And this was written at least 2,000 years ago, 2 Timothy chapter 3. But now, know this, that in the last days, perilous time will come. And you know the Bible marks the last day. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 tells us that in the last days, God spoke through Jesus Christ. So when Jesus Christ came into the world and he died on the cross, that is day one of the last days. All right? Hebrews 1 said that Jesus, very clear, in verse 1, and time passed, God spoke through the prophets. But in the last days, through the Lord Jesus Christ. So when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, that was the first day of the last days of the world. Now look at here, verse 2, in 2 Timothy chapter 3. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying it is power. And from such people, turn away, said the Bible. Isn't that amazing? This is the day, and I thought many times when I read the Bible with my wife, I said, I wonder what days my grandchildren will see if the world is still in existence. What days? Days ahead are not really profitable. They are not good. For the Lord to come, each time I see these killings and all of these terrible things that happen, I said, the Lord is closer. It's time to see the taking over of Israel, the denying of friendship with Israel. I said, the Lord is really closer than what I thought. Amazing. I don't even ever attempt to put the time on it. But I said, boy, sounds closer. And so we must analyze time then when we talk about time, okay? Redeeming the times of Ephesians 5:16. We analyze time, the opportunity of the time. In order to know God, don't wait until tomorrow, it's today. All right? And then the brevity of time. Time is short, as you know. And then the urgency of time. It's not getting better, it's getting worse. Don't panic. If you're a child of God, you're going to be in heaven regardless. People say, what do you think about this? They're going to close the churches. Well, we'll meet in homes. All right? We go to the Combs homes. We meet all of them. All right? We do the baptism service over there. All right? So don't worry about it. Don't panic about things. Because, see, once you have the Lord, it's a different story. Okay? You feel the sorrow, you feel the pain, but you have the security that things will be great. So we must analyze time from God's point of view. There is an opportunity for you to know the Lord, and God is merciful. All right? Now we must maximize time. All right? In other words, look at in Ephesians 5, and in verse 16, it says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Because the days ahead are not improving, we must maximize time as Christians. So I got some notes over there for you and how to do it. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And my suggestion is that marriage need to be really on the spot here, maximizing our time for those who are married. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 32 and 33. But I want you to be without care. He who is married, care for the things of the Lord. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. In other words, if you are single, like the Apostle Paul, he can go on a trip and stay over there, and he can go another place, and he can be with no home responsibilities, all right? He can be more free to do the work. But look at what he said in verse 33. But he who is married cares about the things of the world to do what? How he may please his wife. You know, I read that and I said, Lord, have you done this? I said, Gabriel, have you done this? How you may please your wife. So maximize your time. Maybe you don't have time tomorrow. Do something for your wife that she loves, something that she is looking for. And then sometimes we postpone it, we men postpone it. Do something now because you do not have tomorrow. Maximizing your time. Now also, there is a time of sorrow. In Romans chapter 12, the Bible speaks very clearly about very practical things in life. And in Romans chapter 12 and in verse 15, the Bible said, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And it is good to feel sorrow. It is good. And you don't know how this is so practical to an encouragement to a pastor. And a week before, we have Miran's mother to put away here in San Jose, and to see the sorrow of the family, you are with them. Then we went into the joyful celebration of Leroy. There was no sorrow outside, because the family have done a joyful, I never saw one joyful celebration like that. So much as Victor's mother asked me, why are these people happy? You know, a great question? Why are you happy? Why the family goes into the choir and takes over the church and sing praises to God and the man is not here? I said, I visit with you. And you know, I had patiently, because you have another culture, you patiently have to go from their culture and bring it into the understanding. But it's sorrow and real. And it's good to cry. Jesus cried when Lazarus was dead. So, sorrow. And then also, there is optimism. 12:15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice. You are happy? You want to take me to lunch? I go. All right? Yeah, it's good. It's nothing unbiblical. All right? So, more happy you are, more happy I am. And it's good. The Bible gives you both alternatives. As it's night and day, so it's night and day in our emotions. When somebody departs and when you are in good business. And what about pleasure? Look at 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 31, what the Bible says. 7 and verse 31. And those who use this world as not misusing it, for the form of this world is passing away. In other words, the Bible doesn't say you cannot use the worlds and the means of the worlds to have a good life. No, in 7:31, the Bible said, and those who use this world as not misusing. All right, and that comes for the church also. I'm working hard and trying to cut forms and doing a layout for our future church if it's needed. And trim here and there, and there are things that we would like to have, but we cannot misuse that. We have to do what is necessary and drop to that. And so it is so important. And those who use this world, no misusing. In other words, don't abuse, don't be excessive, don't be, there is, now Job is not here, so I can speak. I like the Facebook, so I look and people sometimes I write something. And there was a nice Porsche. I don't know why you're maybe a new one over there. And Joby, I guess, as I like Maseratis, Joby likes Porsches. And he put a Porsche over there in the middle of his presentation. don't say anything. He just put the Porsche, and you can tell him that he loves that car. And so many people said, talking, you know, commenting. And somebody said, I can see, Terry Perez, as a matter of fact, wrote, he said, I can see you in the car. You know, and that triggered Job's answer. He don't answer anybody, he said, yeah, but then somebody touched his heart, he answered. And he said, yes, I can, but that would be me using of my access of my thing. And that was a great answer. See, you know, if you have a super excess, you do it. But there is children and grandchildren to support for a school. Are we not happy the house we have and the place we live? We have to be happy in that way. Realtors will come to you and say, oh, but there is a better house over there. It's how much cost? $3 million. Well, I can't do that. Oh, but you can sell this. You know, I understand the realtor need to sell. But, you know, we need to be satisfied. I appoint a life to be satisfied how God has blessed us. But there's nothing wrong to have the pleasure. Someone said, don't you feel bad that you're going to take a vacation? Why? I love to have a vacation. I sit down with my now iPad. I have over 300 books here, and I read day and night. And then I have a restaurant about no farther 10 feet, and I sit down in the restaurant. I eat tamales and enchiladas the whole day. It's just fantastic. See? My wife doesn't, but I do. But see, it's very important that you control that pleasure. It's not wrong to have pleasure, but you control that pleasure, all right? So we must maximize time. In marriage, man, do not forget your wife, all right? Sorrow, yes, we have to put ourselves with those in sorrow. Optimism, rejoice with those who rejoice. And then enjoy life and the little pleasures. I tell you how, I was... AutoZone, you know AutoZone in down here, and I saw in the parking lot a Porsche, a new Porsche, but very, very trim, don't look like a real Porsche. So a young man got to the Porsche, so I went and said, young man, I want to congratulate you for this Porsche. I said, that's a good car. And he said, yes. He said, but you know, it's all trim. It's just a stick shape, don't have this, don't have the other, that's the money I can afford. You see, I want a Porsche, and the dealer told me, I have one, it's all trim, if you want it, I give it to you for $30,000, and I have the money, and I bought it. And I said, man, you're wise. He said, because that's what I can pay, he said. I said, you're married? No, well then, do it now, but when you get married, goodbye, Porsche. he smiled, he said, really? Yeah, I guarantee it to you. It's just fantastic. You know, enjoy life when you are, but be intelligent. This man, I don't know if he was a believer or not, was very intelligent. I shake his hand and say, I congratulate you. It was a red, black inside, you know, but the rest was all clean. Looked like a Volkswagen. But he said, but they had the engine of a Porsche. He said, that was his dream. Enjoy you with moderation and with understanding. Now, we must utilize time, and that's my third point that I want to consider with you, and it's right here in Ephesians chapter 5. So let's look here before my time is gone. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16, 17, 18. We must utilize time. How? How do you utilize? By careful living. Look at verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly. The original word is a little more clear. He said, careful. That you walk carefully. Not as fool, but as wise. Careful living. Be careful. Because for young people, you go to a school, be careful. I remember when Miriam went to Davis University, and I said, it would be best for you to eat. We rent a house, and it would be best for you to eat. And Mama gave instruction how to buy a chicken, cut it in so many parts, and do this and the other. To minimize, extend your money as much as you can. And so on. So be careful in your living. You know, careful living is beautiful. Verse 15, see then that you walk, that you live carefully, that you really think before you spend something or you put time in something, all right? Now verse 17 talks about guiding living. Look at verse 17. Therefore do not be unwise but understand what the will of the Lord is. It comes the will of the Lord again. I have talked to you about the will of the Lord, and here is the will of the Lord again. He said, be careful that you understand what the will of the Lord is. Guided living. And before you make a purchase, or before you make a decision, is this the will of the Lord for your life? I tell you, as a pastor, how this comes to me, and the sense that I have to exercise this often. A letter will come from a church and said that we will hear you over the air, and we know you've been on radio, and we'd like you to come and be a candidate for a pastor in our church. Our church, the pastor left or the pastor retired, and we'd like to have you as a candidate for the pastor. Now, before I answered the letter, I had to pray, and I said, Lord, are you moving me from Bethel? All right, that's my first thing. And when my heart is heavy, they don't want to move, then I said, I write a letter thanking them. No, even I go to preach because I don't have any interest, because this is not the will of the Lord for my life. Now, this happened 7 times in my life, and only one church wrote me back and said, thank you so much for saying that this is not the will of the Lord for your life. You are not looking for an opportunity. You are looking to fulfill God's will. So God bless your church, they said. And the church is where Pastor Jeremiah was in San Diego. All right? And Pastor Jeremiah wrote the letter to me. He was making a big, large university, which is on the side. And the church became very large and very opportunity. A great man of God, Pastor Jeremiah. He needed an associate to work with the schooling and so on. But that was not the will of the Lord. Raquel and I went. We spent time in San Diego. We spent time in the church. I preached in the church and so on. But I explained, because he is my friend. So I explained to him, this is not the will of the Lord. Do that. What is the will of the Lord for me at this moment? And then in verse 18, a governed life, a controlled life. Verse 18. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. I think that the apostle is not talking about wine, that you are whiny and so on. No, he's talking about the effects of wine. If you take 4 or 5 glasses of wine, of course, you're going to be controlled by the alcohol and you lose consciousness, and now you don't know what to do. And he said, do that with the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit get you drunk with God. And so that you now think like God and you move like God, be controlled by the Holy Spirit. That's very, very important. Very, very important. Be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And how the Holy Spirit controls you? By reading the scripture. You read the scripture and the Holy Spirit guides you. You read the scripture, and more you read the scripture, put time in the day, just 2-3 minutes, 5 minutes a day, just read a chapter of the Bible that you like it. My suggestion always is the book of Proverbs. But you read any chapter, you like words, you read Joshua, you like love, you read the Song of Solomon, and you read anything you want, a chapter a day, just do it. Do a chapter a day, and let the Spirit of God dwell in you. See, God is king, and it's powerful, but he wants you to know what he wants you to do. And so you need to go into the scripture. So here we have how we utilize time. Number one, remember, careful living. Be careful. Don't make decisions so hasty. Wait. All right? Guiding living. Guiding living. All right? In other words, the will of the Lord, is this the will of the Lord for my life? Very, very important, all right? And control living, govern living, a living that only moves by the power of the Spirit of God, the direction of God. And if you put time on it, if you live it, it's going to be fantastic. Now, what is my conclusion? It's the one that you know very well in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and in verse 1, there is a great text. You know, over there is all kinds of comparison in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And it's a very beautiful text where you learn things. And the Bible said in verse 1, these words, Ecclesiastes 3:1, there is an appointed time for everything. And there is a time for every event under heaven. Is that great? Don't rush. Do not rush. Do not rush. Girls, I like that boy. Take your time to know. Boys, I like that girl. Take time to know. There is an appointed time for everything. God has set up the whole thing in your life that he will bring things in your life. Now remember, he is about times. He is not dwelled by time. He does 20 hours and 1 hour is the same for God. So you cannot complain to God and say, Lord, I'm waiting, like this lady told me. I'm 39, Pastor, and I'm waiting to get married. You know, for God, there's no time. So there is an appointed time for everything. And there is a time for every event of life will come to you. So Christianity and time has a lot of things to do. Christianity and time, a lot of things to do. Are we living a life guarded, guided, and governed by God? If we are, then time is also part of God's plan for our life. And so there is a time to work, there is a time to be home, there is a time to express love. There is all kind of things. It's just, if you use it properly, you will benefit a lot. The hardest time is the time of sorrow, right? When we say goodbye to somebody that we love. When we say, that's it. For me, the greatest sorrow of my life was the departure of my uncle, my mother's brother, who I grew up with him. He was also a civil engineer. And we grew up with him. Can you believe it? Civil engineer, and he quit civil engineering and he designed shoes. My mother was, they put a shop in my house. My mother had those machines with a canyon, and the shoes were over there down, and leather was all over my house. Over there, leather and leather, this kind of leather, the other leather and so on. And he smoked a lot. And at 49, he died. It's like if somebody took part of my heart and put it away. Amazing. It's time and sorrow. But how wonderful it is when we let the Lord control our life. He controls our time, he controls our money, he controls our vacations, he controls our work. It's so beautiful to depend on the Lord and be responsible to God for whatever he has. I'm so glad the Lord have made you to come to this church this morning. And you have the time, you have put the time, the effort, and the expenses to come here. And I appreciate that you are with us. May the Lord bless us. And may the Lord teach us, young people, to use your time from young. Use your time carefully. You will benefit from it. Heavenly Father, we thank you that the Bible told us that the day of salvation is today. Today is the day that we need to put time to see what the scripture has to say. Today is the time that we have to analyze and see if our life is secure, our real life, the eternal life that you have put in us is secure in the hands of Almighty God. Lord, we thank you for the blessing of having these Messiah of Israel, Jesus our Lord, save us and give us eternal life. Now that we are in their world, help us to manage our time according to your will. And when all is done, we're going to praise your name forever and ever. Amen.